Ray Foley.
It's Ray Foley. Playing the music you love all afternoon
on Today FM.
Ireland, how are you? Let's do this thing. Giggity-giggity-give. It's Ray here. It's JP over there.
How are you?
Let's do a Friday show.
A Friday show?
No, that's what I think. I was thinking we do a Friday show on a Monday.
Because every day on this show is like Friday.
There is a thing about Fridays. Friday shows on the radio being better than any other shows of the week. But I have a theory, I have a philosophy that I'm going to try and do a Friday show every day.
There you go.
And bring a little Friday weekend joy to you on this Monday afternoon. This is Today FM. Yeah, I just got the days mixed up. It's Monday, yeah. Let's do a Monday show. Put your hands up. This is a mockery. Put your hands up. This is a mockery. Put your hands up. This is a mockery.
Put your hands up. This is a mockery.
Put your hands up. This is a mockery.
Put your hands up. This is a mockery. Don't you mean a robbery?
Don't you mean a robbery? Don't you mean a robbery? Put your hands up. This is a mockery.
Don't you mean a robbery?
Don't you mean a robbery?
Don't you mean a robbery?
There's another one of those. Look, it's a mockingbird, and the bird goes, "I love you, mockingbird." Ireland, let's do this thing. €100,000. Last Friday, Teresa Connolly won $50,000 for herself. This week, we'll have no. Are you joking me?
What?
There's no winner at half three.
Yeah, but on Friday we'll have somebody winning $100,000.
I hate this. This is
come on, Ray. You said
now.
It was going to be a Friday type show.
Oh, do you know what?
Actually, if
now?
It was a Friday show, we'd be giving away the $100,000 today, so it's not a Friday.
Don't you mean you're ready? Don't you mean you're ready?
Oh, this is just annoying now. I'm complaining. Write up a complaint. There. Write up a complaint. I'm not having it. Get the typewriter. Yeah. This is just ridiculous now. I'm just fundamentally against this now. Here we go.
I'll take dictation.
Dear, is it Chris you're writing this to?
Go Chris, on. All the way to the top.
All the way to the top.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Doyle, to whom it concerns, Mr. Doyle, I must protest in the strongest possible terms. This business... New line.
Yeah.
In the strongest possible terms, this business... of doing €100,000 on a Friday and not giving us a new line and not giving us a massive chunk of cash.
And not giving us
a huge chunk of juicy change on the cash machine every afternoon at 3:30. Instead, we need to wait all bloody week for a ginormous cash jackpot of €100,000. One new line.
Yeah.
Yours, etc. New line. Oh, it's just gone. It's just.
My typewriter has an internet connection.
It's weird, isn't it? You're just disconnected. Yours sincerely.
Yeah.
Raymond Foley, Esquire. Send that now. Send it. Send it to Doyle. Crabbing his pants down there in the glass office. Hey, guys. I know you're disappointed. I am too. I'm like a bull about this. However, someone gets to win €100,000 this Friday afternoon. If you want to get in on that draw, well, there's no sense of danger. There's no sense of tension or suspense now. Dear Mr. Doyle, there is no element of danger or suspense when people can just enter at any stage during the week. I mean, there's no pressure to enter now before three.
Am I allowed to type up my own message?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. As alleged producer of this radio show, I would like to roll in behind management's decision.
tease
the audience with €100,000 on Friday.
You are a corporate shill. He's a licker kissing boss's ass in the middle of my typewritten letter. I'm fuming here. Fuming. Yeah. There's no sense of danger or anything. It's ridiculous. Anyway, you can text in at any stage between now and Friday at 3:00, which seems like a million years away.
No hassle, no urgency. But if you want to get into win, text the word win and only the word win to 57557. Text costs €2. Write it down. €2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. Over 18s. Yeah. You're playing across the Goal Out network of radio stations. Yeah. And you're lying.
Full terms
on the website at www.brackets.com. DrDFM.com. Get in by Friday, 3 p.m. Someone will win €100,000 right here on Today FM. This is Child Survivor. Today FM. Find the music you love. It's Ray Foley in the afternoon. Irish Radio's Great Survivor.
I'm still doing the fart jokes, though. Like, still doing the fart jokes. I'm a survivor. I'm gonna make
it. I will survive. Keep on surviving. Yeah, still doing the fart jokes and still survive. Yeah, that's
the fart jokes are always current.
I'm a big survivor. This is Today FM, playing the music you love. Good day, friends. Hello, welcome to your Monday show. Yeah, Friday show on Monday. I'm Ray. He's JP.
How are you?
Good weekend, actually. Good weekend. Lots of action. It was a good weekend for Paddy Keelty. It was a bad weekend for Russell Brand. Good weekend for Irish rugby. Great weekend for Johnny Sexton. That was a good weekend for us because we went to Auntie Donna at the Olympia Theatre on Saturday night. The amount of people... chats on Fridays. Oh, are you doing this weekend? Are you doing anything nice? Oh, yeah, we're going to see Auntie Donna. And the amount of people that can go, what's Auntie Donna? I don't want Auntie Donna. What's Auntie Donna? And then again today, it's like, do you do anything nice over the weekend? So over the weekend, went to Auntie Donna. What's Auntie Donna? What's that? I never heard of that. It's Auntie Donna. Look them up. Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. They've got a TV series on Netflix. And then they've got a TV show in... they're Australian, from Melbourne, a comedy troupe, three lads. And they're kind of... I always describe them as like the Irish Foyle Arms and Hog.
Yeah, that works.
Just to give you a sense of like, it's sketches and it's funny stuff and it's improv. And that's what they were doing on Saturday night. But they had this whole sequence. Like a mad... I'm not going to... Well, no one's going to see it now because they're on tour and they've left Ireland. They had a big long sequence involving... fart sound effects. And it's just fart sound effects, right? And I absolutely loved it. And as I was sitting watching them do this whole big comedy sequence with fart sound effects, and I was laughing, I thought, how come when I do it, everyone says this is puerile filth. This is stupid, carry
on. Lowbrow.
This is lowbrow, puerile.
Low-hanging fruit.
This is just stupid, carry on. Whereas they do it, they have a world bloody tour doing fart jokes all around the whole world.
The audience were lapping up the fart jokes. Crazy for them.
Unbelievable. Oh, that's I didn't like that. That was the one that...
Yeah.
No, the fart that's the fart too far.
It's the one that got away.
Oh, dear. Good night. Me and JP went on a date then on Saturday night to see the Auntie Donna boys. And we had a good old time. We laughed a lot.
It was a great night, yeah.
What else? Late Late Show. Did you watch The Late Late Show on Friday night?
I didn't see it, no.
I watched it live.
Did you watch all of it?
I watched all of it.
Did you?
There's not much of it, really, because he's cut it short. It's only an hour and a half long now.
It's been slimmed down.
Yeah. I watched it. I have a few observations about it. Generally, I concur with most of the... I was sitting, arms folded on the couch, waiting. Because, of course, it was my gig. I was supposed to take...
Sorry, I'd forgotten.
You'd forgotten this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was supposed to take on The Late Late Show, and then Patrick Keelty got it. Yeah. And then there's this certain expectation, listeners, normies, I need to explain this to you.
Okay.
That, like, there's a certain expectation in showbiz that you're...
Showbiz.
In this
your natural environment.
In this business of show that we're
in. The industry, yeah.
In the biz.
Yeah, people in the biz, yeah.
Us people in the biz.
Okay.
Just to give you an insight, just to pull back the curtain and explain it to you. That when you lose out in a gig like that, and Paddy Keelty, lovely guy, you're expected then to be magnanimous and wish him all the best and at least publicly display a sort of a show of solidarity and go, well, you know, the best man won, he got the gig and more power to him and I'll be rooting for him. Whereas, of course, I don't. I don't feel that at all. So I was sitting on the couch ready to hate it.
Right.
And I was primed. Yeah. I'd all my WhatsApp groups fired up on my phone. I was like, here we go now.
Crash and burn,
here
Paddy.
Here we go, Keelty.
Any little error, I'm going to jump on.
Here we go. And I thought generally it was all right. I think they could have taken other... I can give you all of my observations.
Go on then. As the guy who nearly got the gig.
Yeah, as the guy got pipped at the post.
I mean, if you'd done the show, it would have been totally different, yeah.
I felt that all of the photographs they used of Patrick Keelty at the beginning during the theme tune, we'd seen all those photographs before. They were the photographs they'd taken of him for just PR and press. I felt you could have taken a few different photographs or video, little videos of him moving or getting ready or something for the intro.
Right.
I liked the owl. I liked the gay Byrne introducing him bit. That was a nice homage. I liked the set. A lot of people giving out about the set saying it's rubbish. I think it's quite nice and it's kind of American. It's got that Jimmy Fallon sort of Tonight Show feel. I liked the monologue and I liked the fact that he's doing a monologue and doing gags at the top of the show. But I didn't like the way they showed it. Because usually if someone's giving a stand-up monologue, it's shot from further out, further away.
You can usually see them down to maybe their knees.
Yeah, but they weren't doing it. It looked like the way they shot it was like in front of the Late Late Show sign. It was like he was at a premiere or something.
Right.
Do you know those fake walls that have like branding in the background?
Yeah.
It just looked weird. I thought, no, pull out.
That's a black mark against
I'm
the
just
show.
Marking you down.
Okay.
I'm marking you down on that. Mark my words, by the way. On Friday, you're guaranteed they're listening to this show.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. Taking notes.
I want to hear what Foley has to say about it. Guaranteed on Friday they'll have zoomed out and they'll show it properly like a proper stand-up bit.
And that'll be because of what you've just said.
I thought it was a bad idea booking Tommy Tiernan because he is easily the best on RTÉ at the moment.
Right.
And I thought that was probably a bad idea. Mark my words now, they won't have Tommy Tiernan on Friday. Again, listening to me, they won't have him on Friday.
You're making a lot of hot takes here.
But he handled it very well. And what else did I think? Tommy Tiernan. Tommy Tiernan was good. Tommy Tiernan let him be the host as well. I thought he was excellent. That's the
generous.
He was generous. He was good. And Keelty was. I felt he was nervous. He smacked his lips a lot. That sort of nervousness. And he did this peculiar thing where he bites his knuckles, waiting for the audience to laugh. This sort of thing. Like that.
Okay.
It's like, oh, it kind of, they look.
You
of,
wouldn't do that.
I would never bite my knuckles. I bite my fingernails on the telly. Absolutely. And not say anything. Cower in the corner. I'd be under the desk.
Yeah.
Chewing my fingernails in front of the nation.
You'd have had a bottle of Chardonnay on the desk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, my little friend, just to get me through the hour and a half of the broadcast. And then there was one point then. I wonder, does anyone else, who watched The Late Late Show on Friday night? I think a lot of people were making the observations about the guests. There was one point that I felt, I just can't do this anymore. I can't, I'm done. I've had enough. Did anyone else have that sensation as well? 0874 100 102. At what point did you turn off The Late Late Show on Friday night? Over to you. We'll do a text poll. 0874 100 102. George Ezra, Today FM.
Tiger Lily moved to the city. She just turned 21.
I'm sorry.
Hit me up if you're needing anyone.
George Ezra, Anyone For You, Tiger Lily, Today FM, playing the music you love. All right, so let's do a roll call. Ray's here, JP.
Archer!
0874-100-102. Who have we got? Yeah, everyone making the same observation at the point. I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to read out. What I would say, though, is thank God for subtitles, eh? Paul says on show... A lot of people saying they came back for James McLean.
Yeah. He's always good. He is
James McLean, absolutely fantastic. 0874 100 102. I never finished my final observation on Paddy Keelty on The Late Late Show, and that's, I think he will be, even though he was nervous and in spite of the The umming and ahhing and the smacking his lips and the biting of his... But I'd be
and a lack of fart jokes as well.
A lack of fart... More fart jokes, Paddy. Like, seriously, everyone knows a fart joke. And the biting of his knuckles. I think he'd be genuinely fantastic. Like, he was already, for a first nervous show, which you're going to have on the first night, he's going to be absolutely incredible in a few weeks' time.
I think all the chat show hosts in the US and even Tommy Tiernan here have proven that if you're coming from the background of a stand-up comedian, yeah, you already have most of the tools needed for the job.
This is it. 0874-100-102. Oh, who have I got? I've got Ray. You should get this is on not having a daily prize on the cash machine.
Oh yeah,
Ray. You should have a mini giveaway every day at 3:30 instead of random crap lying. Sorry, hang on. You should just play another fart sound effect. Because really, I can't read out loud. Paddy in Kildare says Ray, you should have a mini giveaway every day at 3:30 instead of random crap lying around the office. We might do that. Ray, if you want, I'll take a call from you at 3:30 just so you don't feel left out. I'm sound like that from Ken. Love the show. Hey. But Ken, I'm not gonna have $100,000 to give away until Friday. So I have nothing for you, Ken. Just put chat. I can do that. Or do you know what we could do every day at 3:30?
What's that?
We could do a dry run of the cash machine call.
Okay.
So it's like if you think you're going to win, let's go through. So I'll pretend that I've got the cash.
That might be a little cruel.
No, I'll pretend I've got the cash and then you play along.
Okay.
So you enter to just do that.
All right.
That's not a bad idea. And Leona says, Ray, loving the Friday fields on this Monday from Leona. Leona, you're welcome. I must have died and gone to heaven, because it was called a past 11. You're not quite. On a Saturday in FM, yes. Calvin Harris, Ellie Goulding, this is Today FM, playing the music you love. Good afternoon, it's Ray Foley here, JP's over there.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Russell Brand everywhere, all over the news today. And this is following on from the Dispatches documentary, which was on Saturday night, the Channel 4 investigation. Was it the Sunday Times or the Times as well?
Sunday Times, yeah.
They were also involved in the investigation of several women or a number of women who have come forward who have dealt with Russell Brand both professionally and personally over the several years of his career. Mostly focused on the late noughties. And just to give you a few of the headlines, Russell Brand faces allegations of sexual assault at height of fame. Russell Brand, more women come forward after comedian accused of sexual assault. Brand behaviour was an open secret, says one accuser. Russell Brand, BBC, sent cars to pick schoolgirl up for visits with comedian. Russell Brand accuser calls his response to the allegations insulting. And I suppose that response that he's maintaining and his position that he's maintaining is that these are false allegations and he has done nothing illegal. He said this on his YouTube. This was the night I saw this. There was a big... there was a big kind of splash about the fact that Russell Brand had gone on, was this on Thursday or Friday it was, and he was saying, oh, there's these allegations against me and there nothing illegal happened and I strenuously deny any wrongdoing. And I was looking at it going, what are they? Because I hadn't read anything about it. And then the Dispatches thing came out on Saturday night and clearly they'd gone to him for comment or his representatives for comment ahead of broadcast. And I didn't watch, we were out on Saturday night, didn't watch it on Saturday, but watched it on yesterday afternoon.
Right.
It's about an hour and a half long. Mm. Mind-blowing. And distressing, it has to be said as well. There was a multitude of stories from women that have dealt with him or had dealt with him during his time when he was famous. And this is part of the discussion that everyone's having about his brand, if you pardon the pun, that he has openly declared himself a sex addict and a recovering sex addict and a recovering drug addict. So there's an element of, is it built into the personality or the reputation sort of that he's wild and crazy and this is all part of the package, or were things that were wrong and inappropriate being forgiven? I want to talk to someone who has interviewed him and met him. I was trying to remember, did we ever talk to him back in the good old days?
I don't think so.
We might have done it over the phone. I've spoken over the phone.
Right.
I don't know if we ever met face to face. We've had a number of people in studio, but I don't know if he was in. I think we've done.
I think he would have been such a big deal then, we'd have remembered, right? Possibly we spoke to him. I don't remember.
But I've forgotten.
Yeah, I know.
90% of the people we've I get this thing on my phone of photographs, just a memory from 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we met Martin Sheen that day. I was like, oh, I forgot that. Martin Sheen was kind of special. Hang on. I'll show Siobhan. Please hold. It's ringing. So Siobhan interview. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello. Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, Siobhan O'Connor, the Sunday Mirror columnist,
yeah.
Broadcaster, reporter, all-round legend. Siobhan, it's Ray Foley here on Today FM. How are you?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. You're live. Please don't swear. You're live to the nation.
I would never swear. You know that.
Yeah, you'd only swear nice things. Swear, swearing love. Come here. Tell Russell Brand everywhere the last couple of days, particularly since the Dispatches documentary. Did you watch the documentary?
I've recorded it. I have two young kids like yourself, Ray.
Yeah, no
so,
time.
Yeah, dying to watch it, obviously, for, you know, few reasons, because I interviewed him a few times, being one of them. What did you think of it?
I thought it was, well, it was upsetting, but mind-blowing. I suppose there's a reckoning going on in general, and I suppose maybe you can speak to this, about the time pre-Me Too, that, like, there was a certain amount of allowances made, I suppose, for what is and was clearly inappropriate behaviour. When did you talk to him?
Yes, the first time was 2008, 2009 for my bookie walk, and it was a sort of a, you know, one of those junkets where everyone's waiting outside and we all kind of hang around waiting to interview the star.
Yeah.
It was in a well-known bookshop in Ireland, and when I went in, the first thing is he's so charismatic, like, unbelievably so, like, he has it in spades. He was so engaging, asked me all about myself before the interview starts, and that never happens in an interview, as you know, because most people you're interviewing are all about themselves or whatever they're promoting. Yep. But he was really, really charismatic, really engaging. But during the interview, he was quite flirtatious. Now, at the time, those times, we didn't really know about the hashtag Me Too. I suppose as a woman, you should be aware, and I'm so happy that all those things we are aware of, especially for my daughters now, that it's changing times. But the way his reaction to me, I assumed it was just flirtation, which I'm sure it was. And he, at one point, which I thought was comical at the time, now that this is all coming out, once I see the documentary, we might think differently of it. But he was like, oh, you know, before we get started, you know, what I'm thinking of doing is like throwing you across the room and ripping off your jumper. And I was kind of shocked.
Shakers.
And also, but being honest, I was also flattered, because at that time, those kind of sentiments were probably 10 a penny. You know, that is would have been considered in those, maybe it's just me. But back then, you would think that's a kind of an almost compliment. But I was feeling a little bit unhinged, because that's never happened in an interview.
Yeah, it would certainly did it make you feel uncomfortable?
It just made me not remember my next question, because it was just bizarre. Now, you know, I'm sure that there was nothing at that time. I didn't feel like it was, you know, he was being, it was inappropriate maybe, but I didn't feel that. I just thought, I just kind of laughed it off at the time.
He's only messing, he's only joking.
Yeah,
and
I didn't think anything sinister, Ray, at all. I haven't seen the documentary yet, and I've read all the reports. And of course, we had it in the Sunday Mirror yesterday. But you would feel at that time that, what is it? Flirtation versus inappropriate nature versus borderline whatever else was going on. But I feel that, you know, what's going to come out now could be even more dangerous. I think it's, you know, it's kind of rocked everyone, hasn't it? After seeing the documentary, you must feel the same.
I think that this tends to always happen, that the minute there's an expose or there's a documentary or there's the beginning of it, more people, and we've already seen it today, that more women are now coming forward with their own experiences that were inappropriate, and that were in they're saying that these are alleged situations that they found themselves in with him. And he has, of course, it's worth noting, he has denied the allegations. But it's interesting as well what Danny Minogue and Katy Perry have said. Have you read their responses to what's been going on?
A little bit. I've been doing a lot of pondering as to why, and you know, it does seem like a lot of people are going to be coming forward now with their own, you know, I suppose, speculation of events, really.
Yeah. Was it just the one time you met him?
Oh, I actually met him again in 2010. Forget him to the Greek at that point. He was kind of, you know, starting his Hollywood career.
Was he much different? You're talking about the difference of a couple of years then. And I suppose he'd been clean. He'd talked about his sex addictions. And again, I suppose that's part of the title of the documentary, Hiding in Plain Sight, that it was part of who everyone understood him to be, that it was this sort of cheeky character, this cheeky reputation.
So were
allowances made for that, do you think, at the time?
Well, we all knew he was controversial. We knew he was kind of a loose cannon that was part of the charm. Mm. We knew he'd been let go from various stations. We knew that he was prone to flattery and, you know, a flirtatious kind of personality. But in the second time I interviewed him, it was a sort of a Hollywood junket. So it was very much filmed. Everything was more official. And he was a little bit more demure in the chat. Highly engaging, highly intelligent, really, really kind of, you know, he knows his stuff. But at the time, the second time, he was far more calm, very sort of held back, more reserved. And, you know, I found him on both times, both occasions, my personal experience, he was extremely charismatic and engaging.
I've spoken to like a half a dozen people today that have interviewed him, and they all said the same thing, that like to a man and woman, they've said he was box office. And in terms of interviewing people for this job, there are some people you interview and you're like, oh, that didn't go too well, did it? And then there's others that are like, oh my God, I'd have them every day of the week. They're absolutely fantastic. And he did bring it every time. But I suppose that doesn't compensate necessarily for inappropriate behaviour, which, like I say, he has denied on his YouTube channel. Listen, Siobhan, thanks so much for taking the call. From the Sunday Mirror, we'll be reading you again on Sunday. I'm sure you'll be able to share your own experiences as well once you've had a look at the documentary. Siobhan O'Connor from the Sunday Mirror, thanks so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Much obliged. All the best. Bye-bye. Cheers, Siobhan. Bye-bye.
Ray Foley.
All right, I said I'd play some time.
With Care Plus.
What a great song. Rima and Selena Gomez and Calm Down. This is Today FM playing the music you love. Look, at Carol Spain's in here.
How am I supposed to calm down?
Jeez.
Don't calm down with Carol in the room.
Rima, wow.
Do you love it?
Oh, I didn't hear it. I was outside waiting for last. I was on time.
Do you know what Rima stands for? R-E-M-A.
Rapid eye movements, anyway. Actually.
Really excellent music, actually.
Is that what it does? Because that was R-E-M. Yeah. It's rapid eye movement, isn't it?
Come here, I've got text messages I need to do before we have our proper chat. Chloe was on. She says, Ray, we're not doing the cash machine call this week. Well, we are, but we're doing it on
Friday.
You're
doing a pretend one.
We're made up one.
I was listening.
Jesus, really?
Yeah, I'm coming in to do a serious prostate cancer awareness thing and you're playing fart noises on the radio.
Yeah.
Are you getting warmed up for it, are you?
Exactly. That's why what I was trying to do. Chloe says, on the cash machine, I can't believe I have to wait until Friday. I live for the cash call every day. Who do I talk to about this? Chloe, Chris, his name is, and you can probably contact him directly through our switch. Ita says, Ray, love the show. Hey. Will you please start a campaign to get Patrick Kielty to start the toy show earlier? Like at 8 p.m. every year, we've had sugar highs, crashes and tantrums by 9:30. And that's just the parents. Ray, be the change. Thanks so much from Ita. Ita, I would say, yeah, we could do that. What about after the 6:01 instead of after the 9:30?
Ita, less sweets early.
Or put your kids to bed on time.
On the Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, put it on the next day or on the player the next morning. Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to get up, put it on the RTE player for you, and I'm going to go back to bed. And I don't have to watch any of it.
Are you going to stay in our house just to do that?
This is what I'm going to do for Ita. Look out, Ita. Here I come. And Anna says, hey, Ray, it feels like this is going to be the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Russell Brand. I'm glad you said iceberg. That's funny how these things go, from Anna. Anna's observation. Yeah, well, I've already, there are more and more women coming out and saying that they had inappropriate experiences with Russell Brand. In the world of stand-up, did you have any inappropriate experiences with Russell Brand?
I met Russell Brand 23 years ago. We were in a competition together for So You Think You're Funny. Never saw him again.
And that was it?
That was it, yeah.
Where was it?
In Edinburgh. It was my first time in Edinburgh. And he was the best on that night. And the judges gave us feedback afterwards. And Stuart Lee was one of the judges. And he told me, some of your stuff was too clever. And I went, thank you for the feedback. And he went, I don't mean it as a compliment.
Stuart Lee was saying some of your stuff was too clever.
Yeah, I was different back then.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying, but isn't he very clever himself?
Stuart, we could be here for a while doing a dissertation on Stuart Lee and analysis. But I found in that night, but he was at the time, he was a heroin addict, Russell Brand. I found him odd and a bit, just an odd presence.
Right.
But that's it. But we all heard stories, but, you know, I think when you're a white male and you're now in my 50s, it's... You're not witnessing the Russell Brand bad behaviour. Yeah, you're just hearing, oh, he's this or he's that.
Heard story. A couple of the stories. Did you watch the documentary the other night?
I didn't. I was away. I'm only back.
Where were you?
I was in Austria.
In Austria, man's an over in Austria. Film, isn't it? The rest of us watching the Russell Brand documentary, yeah. And you're over in Austria.
I saw a bit of the late though.
What did you make of it?
I thought you'd have been a better host, right?
You know what? I think you're dead right. Everyone is saying it.
He's the next man in. It was missing. What everyone's saying.
Mary McAleese been interviewed and there's no fart noises.
It was ridiculous. I felt it.
What's Keelty doing like?
They missed a trick. It was
lack of gravitas. That's what he has.
It was an incredible opportunity to get out the whoopee cushion with Mary McAleese. But you're looking. I'm over it. I am trying to be magnanimous, at least publicly. Do you know? I'm just. I'm wishing him the best. And I
kind of regret turning it down now.
Yeah, I suppose you. Well, you would, because there's good money in it. Like,
yeah,
250
yeah.
grand or something like that.
Well, I turned it down 3 years ago.
well before all of the scandal, I suppose.
I already had a Renault.
you didn't need another one. So you're back in Ireland to talk bums, I suppose. Really.
I'm here. Yeah. Bum chat.
For the bum chat. This is the
face of a bum campaign.
You're the perfect man for the job. Well, actually, I just went on the website. It's on Marie Keating's website, mariekeating.ie. You can go and have a look. And this is the a quiz you can do. Stand up for your prostate, where I suppose you're the stand up.
Well, yeah, it's a pun, really. Yeah.
You're the stand-up, not the prostate.
The problem is, look, you've already been deflecting since we sat down.
I have.
Since we sat down,
it's
you just don't want to talk about this serious issue of getting your prostate checked.
Well,
you're deflected. You've gone off. Oh, did you see this on telly? Or did
I'll
you
talk about?
Oh, look, someone's
else.
After texting in.
Yeah.
Men need to talk about this stuff.
We were talking about prostates just last week. JP got the colonoscopy and all that.
Got the colonoscopy.
Last week for the show, just for a funny bit.
Yeah,
and
wasn't so much the camera; it was the sound guy going up as well. Was that the issue?
it was the whole nine yards.
A furry boom.
Nine yards. Super long colon.
A very boom.
Or maybe that's about right. Is it?
Tell us about the quiz then. This is a quiz because I've opened up the first page of the quiz.
They're kind of jokey questions just to find out. You know, if you answer, oh, that would be mine. Like, you know, I can read them out.
I have them here.
Oh, you have them there.
I have them. Well, we can do it because I've never done the quiz.
Answers aren't there, are they?
It's because it just gives you the option. So it's a quiz. You open it up on the Marie Keating website.
Text in. You could win 100 grand.
MarieKeating.ie would put you into win on the cash machine if you need to get your prostate checked. Well, I suppose it is. It does just start a conversation. This is what we were talking about last week with JP getting the colonoscopy, that it's like, it's worth discussing it and showing that there's nothing to be scared about, or another to be terrified about, or embarrassed.
I think the only people to be terrified is my doctor.
Yeah, your doctor should be terrified. Yeah, and I suppose all of our doctors probably have PTSD from dealing with us and our various issues. So the first page then, mariekeating.ie, what's your favourite TV show? Why is it asking what my favourite TV show is?
If you read out the options, it's kind of the gauge, your age.
Below,
so then when you answer, yeah.
Right, Below Deck.
Don't know it.
Right. Love is Blind.
Heard of it, don't watch it.
Too Hot to Handle.
No idea.
Or RTE News and Weather.
Yeah, I'm going to click that.
Okay, fine. Yeah. We're clicking into that one. So we're already men of a certain age. How do you make sure you're always well rested? 8 hours sleep a night, sleep mask and earplugs, avoiding coffee after 3 p.m. or falling asleep 5 minutes into a movie.
I'm going to avoid coffee after 3 p.m.
I'm falling asleep 5 minutes into a movie at this stage. I'm well into.
Oh my God, sounds like you both have it.
Yeah.
Hang on, it's early days here, Carl. We're two questions in.
Question two, he's already diagnosed us. How far away would you hold your phone to read a text? Oh, here we go. Mm. We were just doing this. We went out for dinner on Saturday night. We went to, actually, have you seen?
To celebrate a colonoscopy.
To celebrate, we were like, come on, if we're going out. So we're getting a colonoscopy and we're going for a bite to eat first.
Don't get them
mixed up.
We went to see the lads, the Australian fellas.
Yeah, I heard you call them the Irish Foil Arms and Hog earlier. What? That was a slip of the tongue.
Why is that?
Because they're not the Irish foil lambs and hog.
Oh, they're the Australian foil lambs and hog.
You got my point.
I was laughing at that. I'd say he's getting mortified now with all the texts coming in.
No, I didn't get any texts. Did I tell you what?
Carl Spain doesn't take much of a break. You were on it today.
High standards.
He's not taking any prisoners.
No.
I've come back from Austria rejuvenated. I nearly said the wrong word there. That would have been ironic.
It would have been colonic. What are their boys' names again?
Auntie Donna.
Have you seen them?
No, I've never heard of them until you mentioned them.
And everyone else saying that I've never heard of them before. How far away do you... Actually, why didn't I put on any quiz music for this? This would be perfect.
How far away? It's going to be so inappropriate.
Well. For every question you get wrong, you're going to hear... how far away do you hold your phone to read a text? Is it A, 10 centimetres, B, 15 centimetres, C, 20 centimetres, or D, as far as possible? 20 centimetres isn't that far, though, is it?
No, it's very close to your face.
Depends on whether I'm wearing my glasses or not.
Well, there you go. Do you wear glasses?
I read my glasses now.
I'd say as far as possible,
me
probably.
Me too, yeah.
We had this. We went to Bunsen, and they put their menu on a business card. Do you see this?
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous. For men of a certain age who love burgers, but have no idea what they're ordering. Next one. When was the last time you lost weight? Uh-oh. For my wedding in 1987. B, briefly in 2000.
Are you married that long?
What?
Are you married that long?
I'm married long enough, actually. Not 87. Briefly in 2000 after Sonia O'Sullivan inspired me to start running. When the bathroom scales malfunctioned. Or D, recently without trying.
I'm going to say D.
Recently without trying. That's a red flag, though, isn't it? Isn't that the whole point of the quiz?
It's true. I wasn't especially doing anything mad different.
Oh, my God.
I'd be slightly less.
I'm on the bathroom scales malfunctioning. Yeah, Buzz.
You think I shouldn't click on option four, then?
You do it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I know I don't look like it, but I have lost weight recently.
You're looking very well.
Going to the gym a lot.
What do you do
when you get there?
My doctor said do stuff that makes you sweat, so I eat Chinese food on the treadmill. That's a joke, but I have been going to the gym. That was a joke. It's terrible when you have to go, that's a joke.
That's a joke now. How much have you lost?
I've lost nearly 2 stone.
Jesus.
I know, yeah. But anyone, but don't look at me, don't look at me.
Oh, stop, don't look at me. Yeah.
This shirt wouldn't have fit me. This shirt's probably 20 years old, and it's probably the fifth time I've worn it.
Isn't it great when you're getting into the old shirts,
though? You buy them with the thing of, oh yeah, I'll lose that. Few pounds,
and I get into it,
and then it just gets bigger and bigger, and you go.
That's a lovely feeling,
I've
though.
Kept
Karen.
Them all. It's a joy. It's a joy,
and it's like free clothes. Then,
yeah.
It's like they're in the wardrobe.
People would take pictures with me and go, "Oh, when was that taken? 2005? Was it?"
how powerful, Carl, is your pee flow? Is it A, Niagara Falls, B, Super Soaker, C, Fire Hose, or D, weaker than I'd like? Oh, interesting one.
I have no particular preference on strength.
You have a preference?
Yeah, I don't have.
Well, this is it. Question four is asking your preference, like weaker than I'd like. So, what would you like in terms of wee flow?
I'd say fire hoses is that's going too far. Niagara Falls, definitely not.
Super soaker.
Yeah, I think a
strong water gun.
I would have thought.
I think I can manage that.
I'm happy enough with my flow.
Depends on how long you have to wait. You know, sometimes you're driving and you go, oh God, there's nowhere to pull in. If I pull in at the side of the road, Pamela Joyce will drive past and judge me. She drives the motorways of Ireland.
She's always
looking to spot that.
She's always driving. Yeah. She's always in the car. How often do you get up to pee at night? Is it A, never, B, once after a few pints, C, the odd time, or D, at least twice?
I'd be at least...
No, one and a half, which sounds wrong. I'd be one, sometimes two.
I wake up for one, but I never get up.
Yeah, and then you're crucifying yourself. You're lying there thinking, why don't I just get up and go?
Yeah,
I'm in pain.
Well, what do you do? Try and go back to sleep?
I wet myself. I urinate on myself. No, I don't.
You just pee over the wife's side and then go, darling, look what you've done.
Well, open the window. Open the window and I'll aim.
This is why I put you in the spare room 5 nights a week.
No, I'd wake up at about 4 or 5 and busting and then just not get up and then be raging that I didn't get up. Yeah, I'll put in the odd time.
You're raising other issues today.
This is the last one. It's all coming out now. Have you recently noticed anything unusual about your pee? A, no, thankfully. B, sometimes there's blood or pain. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
C, sometimes I don't feel totally empty afterwards. There's another red flag. And D, it's either hard to get started or hard to postpone. Another issue. These are all good questions to be asking to be determining whether or not you need to go and talk to your GP. No, thankfully.
Yeah, I'm
trying to go for you.
Check answers. Here we go. It's a big moment.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. And it's all we got. It's your quiz result. And it's Carl looking sort of like a stern professorial type.
In a blazer,
The lad, look at that.
Oh, that's me, yeah.
Carl looking concerned about my prostate.
Well, maybe.
Judging by your answers, you might be over 50 years old. Steady on. Talk to your GP about setting up a prostate exam. Do the same if you're over 45 with a family history of prostate or breast cancer. Worth getting checked out. That's handy. That's very simple. Only 7 questions and you can answer.
Yours is a bit more softly, softly than mine.
Oh, hang on. Are you going to hospital?
Kill the music, thanks. It says, based on your answers, we think that it might be helpful for you to get checked out. That's more a call to action than yours is. Yours is like, we think you're old. Maybe go along.
Does the photo of Carl look even crosser on yours?
He looks like a guard or something, a guard or sergeant.
Is he holding his head and screaming? Is he wearing a nurse's uniform?
Just not to worry anyone or to just reassure people. Dave Moore's doing fine on his own, like.
Absolutely, yeah. It's too grand.
You know?
Yeah, so and my farewell show will be excellent.
Yeah.
It will, yeah.
It'll be really emotional.
Just in case,
we're not going
to
miss him.
To be fair, I've been for the check only recently, so I've got the all clear.
Yeah, 100%. You probably need to get into the wellness soon, though, as well.
You probably do. JP's spinning off into his own mindfulness brand.
It's a assfulness.
Yeah. I'll be your first customer. Thanks. Carl, thanks for coming in.
No problem. Thanks for letting me...
Come here, let me do some plugs, actually. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
That's really why you came in, Carl, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marie Keating Foundation.
Plug them.
Don't plug
your bum, get it checked.
That's one of the taglines on the website here, actually. Yeah, mariekeating.ie. You can fill out the Stand Up For Your Prostate quiz there, which is worth doing. The gig, you're doing any gigs? You're gigging the whole time. You're just back from Austria gigging,
just back from Austria in Waterford next week. Galway on Thursday, Waterford next week, the Theatre Royal, when I should be in Dublin at my film premiere. I'm in a film as a policeman. I know, you weren't
what?
Told.
Tell us this.
I know, it's called The Hurler.
You're the new Pat Short.
I am. Yeah, I'll take that for
a
while.
And Patrick Keelty, he's in a film as well. She's your all in films all at the same time.
She didn't turn him down. That's why I turned down The Late Late to be in the film.
The Hurler.
The Hurler. Tony Kelly from Waterford. I'm actually gigging. It's kind of ironic that I'm in Waterford and everyone that is in the film as well, they're not all from Waterford, but they're all going up to Dublin to do the premiere. And it's going to be at cinema, I think, 5th or 6th of October. When I'm gigging in Dolan's that night, get that out. Check my Insta for all
the
details.
I have a bunch of dates here, but I don't have the next couple. I've got the 5th of October Dolan's, 6th then the Limelight in Belfast.
7th is Listowel. That's not probably there, is it?
That's not there, no.
Mike the Pies.
And then I've got the TF in Castlebar on the 25th of November. But you're doing loads of gigs.
Oh, there's loads. No,
what's the website then, Carl?
Carl Spain. Just put Google me on Insta, my website.
Carl Spain upcoming gigs.
Yeah, Carl Spain, just Google me. There's only two of us. There's another Carl Spain in Malahide, but I've only met his wife. I haven't met him.
Don't go on his website.
I met his wife in Dublin Airport. She says, I'm married to Carl Spain. And I went, well, this wouldn't be cheating then.
let's go.
But that was years ago. And we didn't do anything in case. The last thing would be killed by Carl Spain.
Yeah. The murder suspect.
We've checked the DNA, it's Carl Spain. Oh, it couldn't be him. No, there's two Carl Spain DNAs here.
Stand Up For Your Prostate, fill out the form on mariekeating.ie and then Google Carl Spain.
And if you come to my
gigs.
Show, you can win over 100 million. If you come to the show and you bought a Euromillions ticket check the numbers
and Dermot
while you're
Whelan's
at
going to be there doing mindfulness as well.
Dermot will be there.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be fantastic. Carl, always a pleasure. Thanks
always,
for coming.
Thanks very much.
Carl Spain, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I can't feel my face. You're on Today FM. We play the music you love. Whether you can feel your face or not, good day. It's Ray here. JP's over there.
Yes, hi.
Hi there. Thank you so much for your patience and indulgence
this afternoon.
Man, we've had a busy show thus far. Carl Spain talking about prostates. Russell Brand, Patrick Keelty on The Late Late Show. Australian comics that are like foil arms and hugs. Foils, arms and sods. Darren says, you should have Carl on for the full hour. Wind him up and let him go. And he's obviously a big time listener from Darren. She Jesus, a lot of love for Carl Spain. Give over, Darren. We can do radio, you know, without funny guests.
Ah, no, he makes it easier, though, doesn't he?
Jesus, JP.
Fills up the airtime.
Ah, come on, JP.
What?
Don't be like that, like.
No, it's just, it's nice to share the studio with somebody else that's not you sometimes, right? You know?
You're very harsh. I thought we were doing fine.
We're doing okay, like.
Steve texted, guys, I'm devastated and raging. Steve is devastated and raging. He says, following off from the game at the weekend, where are the rugby dads this afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the rugby dads. What would be appropriate music to play for rugby dads? Sorry.
You could use the Rugby World Cup. There's a Rugby World Cup anthem. I think it's called World in Motion.
Sports music. Hang on. Is there sports music? No. World in Motion?
Yeah, I think that's... Oh, hang on. Is that New Order? World in Union, I think it is.
World in Union?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's got a choir in it, I think.
Hang on. No, please hold. It's just... Guys, the rugby dads.
Guys.
Proud of the game. I don't know if that's appropriate, is it?
It's a bit downbeat, isn't it?
I'll just put on the other one again. I'll put on the old thing that was from there. Rugby dads, what a sensational game.
What a weekend.
Oh, what a weekend for it. Went over to the BIL's house for the big game on Saturday evening. BIL brother-in-law.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, my BIL Andy. Yeah, the big bro-in-law, he's got a 106-inch OLED TV. He's a flash get. Oh, there's nothing like it. Royal Nugent on the Dolby Atmos Sonos 360 sound. It's unreal. It's unreal.
We went to the pub before we went to that comedy gig. We went to the pub beforehand, and the match was on. And all we did
was talk
like this.
We were the rugby dads in the pub. It was sensational. Anyway, yeah, over in the bro-in-laws, I took the three kids over. Because we all got to get out of Audrey's hair while the game's on, you know. Do you want to know the names of the three kids?
Oh, go on, this will be good.
Three kids. Well, my eldest is Jarloth. He's 12. Jarloth.
Jarloth.
Jarloth. He's 12.
Jarloth, yeah.
Audrey says he's bookish, so I bought him Tony O'Reilly's autobiography. He's a ledge. Absolute ledge. And then the middle bambino, little girl, Gonzaga.
After the school.
Yeah. She's 8, right? And she's a unit. She's a unit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's an absolute unit.
She's
built like a brick shit house. And then the baby of the house, little Clongo. 4 years of age. Little Clongo. Yeah. Okay. He's strong-willed. Right. He's a strong-willed little tyke. He won't do a thing he's told, right?
Right.
You've heard of Clongo's wood.
I have indeed.
Well, in our house, it's more like Clongo wouldn't. Oh, in fairness, it was a great game, though. I wasn't delighted for Johnny. I'd say Rog is raging.
Fallen.
He's Rog is raging, or as they say in France, effing boucoup raging amigo. What a game, though. What a game.
What an absolute classic it was. What absolute horseplay over the weekend. Carnage in town it was. Absolute carnage. The place was swimming in sticks of dynamite. Absolute koi gig. Come on, you guys in green. I was talking to Tiernan and Hugo.
You were not talking to Tiernan.
Tiernan and Hugo. The two guys, yeah. The guys were saying, gotta hand it to Tonga, though. Absolute heart and soul of rugby. The game is in their DNA, of course, the Pacific Islanders. Big units. but playing against a Tier 1 nation like Ireland, it's their cup final. Do you know what I mean? It's a big deal for the guys. But it's going to be a big step up at the weekend now with South Africa on the radar. Big step up.
I like that it's South Africa.
South Africa. Better than North Africa, because it's on the south side. You know, that kind of a way.
Absolutely.
Defending world champions, playing for all the marbles the guys will be. Mammoth Challenge. Up there, we're trying to get a Land Rover into a course space in Tesco Merion. Tight fit, that is. Always a tight fit. But, of course, they got Big Johnny. Big Johnny leading the line, you know. The absolute on-field lieutenant.
He's glued the whole thing together.
He's kind of like the on-field captain. In fact, he is kind of like the on-field captain. Yeah. He is the kind of guy you'd follow into battle or into a KPMG boardroom meeting. You know, that kind of a way.
Oh, yeah, he's always got your back.
Come on, Johnny!
Real reliable.
Ray Foley.
Here's Rugby Dads.
With Care Plus. Care with a K. Care with a difference.
Nightmare.
Careplus.ie.
Absolute nightmare.
Get in and out of town was just
it was a nightmare.
Nightmare.
I swear to God, I mean, I was waiting for two goes of the Lewis to go past before I managed to get on. It was shocking. It was shocking. I'm playing BTS. Yes.
Love rock music.
Joel Corry, 0800 Heaven, Today FM. Playing the music you love. Jeez, everyone loves the rugby dads. If you watched, we'll be getting a cease and desist from Paul Howard's solicitor. How's it going? Ashling texted, says, Clan goes, lads, I'm deceased. Hi, no, haha, I'm dead. Anthony says, keep the rugby dads going throughout the tournament. The tour now, the tournament.
Guys, the championship, yeah? Hilarious.
I'll mention Newbridge College next time, BTW. Love the show, says Keith. Hey, Ray and JP, don't forget about DJ J.O. I want a DJ Clongo piece each week after listening to that. Oh, Ray, love the show. Hey. Peter in Kilkenny's been on. That's outside of Dublin, I think. He says, I think JP should stick to North Dublin. I think JP should stick to North Dublin accents because Ray nails the South Dublin
that's
one.
That's true. That's fair.
Ray
I'm very Southside, you know.
With Care Plus, providing home.
Yes, this is Today FM. We play the music you love. It's Ray Foley in the afternoon. JP's over there.
Hi.
So it's a shark in a nappy, correct? A shark in a nappy.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, a shark in a nappy could mean... By the way, stop that for a second, stop. I just played this for JP and he's looked at me sideways in this sort of like a confused puppy when I started playing this. He's like, what's that? What's that? I don't know what that is. Once it came on then, 1 second. He has no idea what this is. Do you not know what this is?
Oh, it sounds like a disco tune now.
Baby shark, baby shark, you know he's no
is that
idea
how that this song starts. I had absolutely no idea.
He has no idea.
I've only had that song sung at me. No, listen to it.
It's the baby shark background music,
right?
Mommy shark, mommy shark.
Nobody's going to thank you for this.
Buddy, you've got to have kids. That's the thing. You have kids, you're going to be listening to this on a loop for a good 4.5 years. And can I just say as well, it's a banger. Stop that, stop it. Cop on to yourselves. Jesus, just cop on. It's a shark in a nappy. And this is serious news. A shark in a nappy, and it's not Pink Fong's baby shark. The Irish Independent has a story. Basking shark at Natural History Museum in Dublin fitted with a nappy due to high humidity. The basking shark on display at the Natural History Museum in Dublin has been fitted with a nappy, according to the unofficial Twitter account, Dublin's Dead Zoo. Have you seen the photograph? You should see the photograph of the shark. It's the big, massive basking shark. If you've been to the Dead Zoo before, the Natural History Museum, there's a huge shark hanging in the middle... facing the door, huge, hanging from the ceiling, and they've now put around the middle of the shark, sort of just below the belly, or the whole way around. It looks like a kind of a kitchen towel or something, or it looks like a nappy.
I'd say 95% of the kids in Ireland, who are even now adults, have seen that basking shark. Everyone's done the school tour.
Everyone has seen the shark. Does he have a name? Let me call my Natural History Museum guy. It's ringing.
Hello.
Hello, is that Paolo?
It is speaking.
Paolo's speaking. This is Ray Foley calling from Today FM. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you keeping?
What's your title? Natural History Division Leader at the museum, is that right?
I'm the keeper.
He's the keeper?
The keeper of natural history.
It's easy enough to keep them, I'd say, because they don't do much running around like they would at a regular zoo, no?
You'd be surprised now.
They keep you on your toes. Tell us about the basking shark. It's photographs we're looking at. It looks quite alarming to see a dead basking shark in a nappy. How did this come about?
Yeah, it's one of these odd things that happens in museums. So the basking shark has been hanging there for about 150 years. Yeah. It's been there a long time. It's an old specimen. And we noticed that recently, this summer has been so wet. It's just been, you know, the rain has been non-stop, and also we've been really, really busy, and we've only got one floor open because the upper levels have all been closed for construction work that's been ongoing and so on. So we've had over like 120,000 people in over the summer, just over 2 months, and with it so wet, everyone's coming with wet coats and everything, and the humidity levels in the building have been ramping up and ramping up, and basically the skin, which was tough as leather for years, has softened, and basically it means that the big sheets of skin that were just nailed to, it's a bit like a barrel inside the basking shark, it's just like a big long barrel.
It's hollow,
With kind of the skin nailed onto it. Because it's pretty rudimentary taxidermy. And basically what's happened is the skin's got soft and it's torn through the nails and it started to slump a bit. So we've had to just kind of secure it for the time being just to make sure it's safe and, you know, to make sure it's not going to fall off.
I gotcha. Okay, because it's sort of holding it in place, holding it together.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it's just to stop the skin from falling off. I mean, it's only, you know, a thin layer on the outside, but one day, you know, as soon as we can get it down and do all the work that needs to be done on it, we'll get it conserved and actually fixed up and do it properly. But for the interim, we're going to just have it with its nappy.
with the nappy. I thought it was something more alarming than that. Like, was it beginning to drip or something? Was there some sort of something coming off it? But no, it's the fact that just the skin is sort of coming loose and you're keeping it intact. Does the shark have a name?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, it might have had a name with all its mates, but they've all been dead for 150 years as well. So,
yeah, I suppose when you're the last man standing, or the last man swimming,
hanging.
Tell us about the work that's going on there, because it is a big job. Because we're huge fans, our family, of the Natural History Museum, love a visit. But it's only one floor now that's open.
Yeah, it's only one floor. The ground floor is open, and basically we did a load of work last year to put a new floor in the building, which is what we call a crash deck. It's just for the OPW, the Office of Public Works, to get in and start doing the investigation works on our roof, because there are no blueprints for the building, there's no plans for the building, and we just entered, well, at the beginning of this year, it's been a while now, but we've entered the kind of detailed design phase for a major redevelopment of the whole building, put in lifts and all that kind of stuff, because we want to make the building fully accessible. So there's a huge amount of work that goes into that within a building of this age. You know, it was built in 1856. So, we've got to get to the bottom of all of, how they built it, how it's all put together, and there's a vast amount of work. So we're all doing that at the moment, busy behind the scenes. So all the things that you don't get to see in a museum, everyone running around like mad things trying to get all this work done. And eventually it means that we will reach a point where we have to finally close the building completely and do the big renovations. So
will there be air conditioning, Paolo, then in the new, so it'll be nice and dry and be able to maintain a consistent humidity or consistent temperature then?
So I don't think we'll be putting in air conditioning, because what we actually find in buildings like museums, often you put an air conditioning unit in and after 10 years it breaks down and causes more problems than it solves in the long term. And we have to think in the long term when you're dealing with museum spaces. But what we would do is put in air handling so that you have ways of managing the airflow in the building so you don't get these big humidity fluctuations and so on. So, it's all really, really careful planning. And also, these days especially, but now the technology is out there, we can find much more energy efficient solutions than air conditioning to deal with these sorts of issues. So that's, it's quite an exciting time for us to be looking into all of these different, ways of approaching these problems that we face in museum buildings and trying to find the most energy efficient ways and kind of long-term sustainable ways of fixing those problems without spoiling the place.
Yeah, fair enough. How did you get into the dead animals business yourself?
God, one decent time, 4 years old.
What, 4 years old?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, went into museums. Now, I was born in the UK, so I had no idea.
No kidding. I wouldn't have guessed.
You wouldn't have guessed.
Very strong Dublin 2 accent. I know.
It's shocking, isn't it? To be honest, I wish I'd been born in Dublin just so I could have come here when I was a kid.
I'll stop this.
I don't know, serious. It's like the first time I walked in the building, I was gobsmacked by the Dead Zoo. I love this place. I've always loved this place since I first set foot through the door. It's a fantastic place. So, it's a good place to be.
Follow your dreams, and it's clearly working out for you. Listen, man, thanks so much for taking the call. We'll keep it. We'll have to come up with a name for the shark. That's our next radio challenge. Sharky McSharkface.
It's been done.
Let's go over the new one. For more info on tickets and exhibits, see www.museum.ie. Paolo Viscardi from the Natural History Division Leader at the Museum. Thanks so much for taking the call, sir.
Thanks so much, Ray.
All the best. Bye. Well, this is today with them. I'm Marie and Shania. Lizzo, good as hell, Today FM. Play the music you love. On the shark with the nappy at the Natural History Museum. Brian texted, he said, Ray, I'm surprised you didn't ask your dead shark guy, how's it hanging? Well, limp, grey, wrinkly and saggy. That would have been true of me and the shark.
Baby, how you feeling?
And several, too many people to mention, said BB should be the name of the shark.
Of course.
As in BB the Baskin shark. BB Baskin.
Come on. This stuff writes itself, guys.
Come on, guys.
Guys,
so much you didn't get to do on the show today. We didn't get to do Gassy Erasmus.
Yeah.
Not Razzy Erasmus.
No.
Gassy Erasmus.
Yeah.
Where South African rugby coach Razzy Erasmus tells us he avoids dairy because, well, it makes him gassy.
Yeah.
There you go. Get to do Carl Spain's drains, where comedian Carl Spain tells us about his new plumbing service. He'll unblock your drains. No job is too big or too small. Right, Carl? Cheers, man. It's just not funny.
You're just completing the circle.
It's pure.
We're finishing the way we started.
It's just ridiculous. Stupid. Carry on. We didn't get to do Carl Spawn,
Where
comedian Carl Spain talks us through the life cycle of frogs, particularly focusing on the frog spawn stage. Carl Spawn. Great news. Matt Cooper's on the way next.
Ray Foley. Weekday afternoons from 2. Today.